Valvoline Instant Oil Change wants you to breathe out your oil change anxiety. And breathe in automotive peace. Visit us today.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and diets featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. Welcome to Adventures in Randland. I'm Andy.
And I'm Wendy.
And as you guys all know now that I don't know how to read and speak, I say that opening every time live. It's not like, you know, it's pre-recorded in there. So.
Right.
All right, back to, what are we reading? The Dragon Reborn. We're doing The Dragon Reborn today, chapters 23 to 30.
Did you not sleep well last night?
The chiefs suck. They made me mad. Yeah, they wasn't good. They looked terrible. The chiefs were supposed to be better offensively this year because our receivers are healthy, which they weren't last year. Our top receiver is suspended for 6 games because he went driving down a Texas highway at 150 miles an hour or something and caused a big wreck of 10 cars that whatever. He ended up being suspended for violating the wellness policy or whatever it's called. So he's out right now, which is fine. It happens, whatever. Our second best receiver, 3 plays into the game last night, dislocated his shoulder by running into Travis Kelce and just getting blasted by his own player.
They said 6 seconds into play, someone got suspended for 6 games for spitting. Did the Chiefs play the Cowboys?
Chargers. The spitter got suspended for 6 games. Good. He should have been gone for the whole year. You can't do that. I don't remember. I just heard about it. For the Chargers.
Yeah, it was like the quick.
Well, there's no love lost between Dallas and Philly, right? I mean, they don't like each other, so. So, yeah.
Oh, so it was a Philly that got.
Yes.
Okay.
The Chargers had a guy who should be suspended as well. I'll have to check up this weekend and see if he got suspended. But he threw a swing at Kelce.
God, this is almost sounding like a Monday morning meeting.
I know, right? All right. Anything else we need to talk about before we get going? All right. So chapters 33 to 38. Let me pull up 23 to 30. Good Lord, we should just be starting over, but we're not going to. Bear with me 1 second. I need to find my notes and then we'll be ready to go. I am not prepared today. I apologize to all, you, one person who's listening, that you have to listen to this. All right, chapter 23, titled Sealed. First, before we get into that, what were your overall thoughts on the reading this week?
Tor Balon is just saying.
Right? There's definitely some, there's definitely a little more violence than you would think and a little more intrigue, if you will, than you would think. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not the perfect little city that they pretend they are. I think that's probably true of really anywhere.
Well, no, because, you know, it's supposed to be the Emerald Sea, and, like, there shouldn't be, like, yeah, you would think of some intrigue, but not to this level and this level of death and destruction, because it's supposed to be safe there in some sense. You're supposed to feel safe.
Right, but where there's power, there's people who want that power.
True.
Yeah. So, like I was telling Wendy before we started here, this has a couple of my favorite scenes from this entire book in it, this week's reading. So I'm happy to get into it. So chapter 23, it is titled Sealed. So we're finishing Egwene's, or really doing the aftermath of Egwene's testing to become A and accepted in this chapter. She stepped out of the arch and she did the same thing that we saw Nynaeve do, and we can probably assume that Elaine wasn't that much different, where she steps out and she's like, why? Like, is that all I do? Is that all I do is abandon Rand? Or I abandon him again and again and again. I just watch him die over and over and over again. Is that all that's left for me to do? You know, and I mean, she is just flipping out. And Sheriam, instead of reacting, is kind of like, oh, you're unharmed. You know, she delves her and she's like, you're safe. Good. So right then, you know, something went wrong, right? It wasn't normal. So the Amyrlin does her little traditional, or we assume traditional, washing her clean of everything that she did, past, present, future, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, she had to do that.
Right.
The Amyrlin Sea even said that, well, we have to finish this.
Right. I mean, we have our ceremony. In order for you to officially be accepted, it has to happen, and I don't want to go through this again. So.
Right.
You did the hard part. You went through the rings. You did your three visions.
Right.
But let's just finish. So. What's her name? Alana, right? Alana takes credit for what went wrong. She says there was that that little vibration that happened and she shouldn't have sent her through, and she requested to share penance and share kitchen duties with Egwene because of it. And this immediately makes Egwene kind of like, huh, are you Black Asha? Why would you want to do that? Why do you want to hang out with me? And so she talks to Amyrlin, or no, she does that a little later. It's in today's reading, though. She starts thinking, I mean, as would be kind of normal, as you would think, you know, she's supposed to be looking out for Black Aja. So now she's seeing Black Aja everywhere.
Exactly.
She's like, well, are you? Are you? Are you? Exactly. Are you all? So
yeah, they're all thinking even that Varen's Black
Eyes. I mean, just everybody is under, like, why all this stuff that Varen gave us is crap. Well, I mean, that comes a little later, but is she hiding from us? Is she Black Aja? Is how can we even trust the Amyrlin? I mean, just one after another. So Egwene does complete the ritual, though. She becomes accepted. And I thought it was kind of funny that Elida starts being Elida. And after she's done being Elida towards Egwene, you know, well, I didn't want you to go through because you're a wilder. So what do you think of that, by the way? This whole prejudice, and she's not alone, but this prejudice against, you can't see me, but I'm doing the finger quotes, wilders.
I just don't think. The thing is that I'm just thinking Elida's like Black Aja. I'm sorry to say.
But if anybody is, she's got to be one of them.
I still think that somehow the things that they go through, because they also, don't they also kind of forget it too?
Aren't they
supposed to forget it?
Well, Nynaeve says it goes away with time.
You know, and that ties to the Black Aja, you know, in, Egwene was in the Tangriel.
Now I'm going to take this from a different perspective, and it's not one I necessarily believe or agree with, but I want to put it out there. Elida had a posh, is that the right word? A cush, maybe? She had a real easy assignment, right? She attached herself to the queen of the most powerful country in the world, and she had had a foretelling that said that the final battle would somehow run through Andor, right? Like she attached herself to the queen of Andor and was her personal Aes Sedai. Well,
but what were the Reds always?
No.
Part of Andor's Aes Sedai, or no?
Andor had always had an Aes Sedai, but it wasn't always red.
See, and I think that she just tied herself because she's Black Aja. She's playing the fucking long game.
Well,
I'm sorry.
All right. So to give some perspective of why she may personally hate Egwene, So Elaine
didn't have to work for it. She.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. But Elaine disappears in the last book, beginning of the last book, with Egwene. She disappears. Nobody knows where they are. And this pisses off Morghese. And Morghese gets rid of Elaida because of it. Sends Elaida back to the tower, says she doesn't need an Aes Sedai helper anymore. So she turns around and blames Egwene and Nynaeve for Elaine disappearing. Right? So she personally hates Egwene because she has cost her that beauty seat she had in the end. That's how she sees it. That's how I read it.
I like it. Okay.
But she still is a bitch, regardless.
Okay.
That doesn't overcome her personality flaws that she clearly has.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so, you know, you're given a good...
Oh, I'm not saying she's not Black Aja. I'm not saying she is. I mean, if there is Black Aja in the tower, it has to act like Elaida, right? I mean, but so Elaida does her little... Oh, and my question about what do you think of her call of her hatred of Wilders, I feel like that is a touch on probably racism.
That's exactly what I
you know. About. I mean, or it could be really any ism, but it seems to fit racism more than any other.
Elitism.
Elitism, or what do you call it? Xenophobia, where you hate people who are not you.
Exactly.
You know, so. And it's basically anybody who learned to channel before they got to the White Tower would be, you know, a Wilder, quote unquote. And it's interesting that Wilders tend to be stronger than those in the tower. So,
yeah,
less controlled, but stronger. So after she rips into Egwene a little bit, after she Elaidas her, she walks off, presumably, and Egwene looks at Sheriam. She goes, well, thanks for helping out. And Sheriam goes, well, child, I would have helped out if you were a novice, but you're not a novice anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, ha ha, way to go, Egwene. You've been accepted for 30 seconds and you've already screwed it up. So yeah. I just thought that was kind of funny. So then she turns and she talks to Alana. Because Alana's a green and she asks her what it means to be a green, and Alana kind of chuckles and it's like, well, look at that. You're an accepted for 30 seconds and you're already wanting to know what it's like to be a green. So she tells her it's the Battle Aja, and that when battles happen, when during the major wars they've had, that the greens go out on the front lines and fight. So yeah, that's fun because, and Egwene, of course, asks that because that's what she was in her visions. So now she sees that apparently that's the way she goes, which, again, going back to the last book, that would make sense that she would be a green. You know, I mean, she learned more battle from being a Shanchen captive for a short amount of time than probably anybody in the White Tower knows, you know?
Exactly.
There you go. That's two times since we started recording, and we're only on the first chapter. Two times I've had to get up to let dum-dum out. All right. Anything else that stands out to you in this chapter?
Well, the Tangreal that she had from, I think that's what caused the problem.
Good catch.
Is because that was in the room, and it was such a powerful one.
And it's similar. It's the same style of.
Right.
So what does that tell you about these, about the testing? Testing must have something to do with Teller and Riad then, right? Like they never come out and actually say it, but if it's the same style, then.
It's like the dream plane?
Yeah, it must have something to do with the dream world. To a degree, like not necessarily just the dream world, but she said the only other time they had gotten these a reverberation like this was because there was another related at Tangreal.
Right.
There.
See, I'm almost wondering if this kind of Tangreal, I think it's almost like a combination of the dream world, but the other planes, kind of like those stones. That could take them into different.
I think you're right. They never say one way or another, but I think you're right. But I don't want to go into details yet on what I think it is, because I think later they kind of name that. And if I'm wrong, then at the end of the books, when we're doing the overall talk, because we will have, we'll probably skip the talk at the end of each book, but we will have an episode where we talk about all the books combined.
Yeah.
Then I'll bring up what I think it is. But I think we'll have the opportunity to talk about that at some point here. So
yeah,
I don't want to ruin that.
I just think that it has something to do with it. They're the stones. I don't know. They didn't explain that they all looked alike, but I just.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change wants you to breathe out your oil change anxiety and breathe in automotive peace. Visit us today.
Had this weird kind of, I don't know. Anyway.
All right. Anything else on chapter 23 before we move on?
Just whether, you know, I know she was wondering if anyone read the papers or stuff like that.
Ah, yes.
It just seems weird that, who was it who called her down there to go for her acceptance right then and there after she got the papers?
Sherriam, I believe, right?
Sherriam, I can't remember. But did Sherriam know that she had just left Varen and Varen had given her the Tangreal?
She did not know that she had been given the Tangreal because she had it sandwiched.
But no, did she know that she had just left Varen?
She did. Well, I don't know. I think she caught her in the hallway, so she knows she was leaving. Yes, she did, because Egwene had mentioned it.
She had the paperwork and all this.
She said, Varen was giving me some papers for my studies.
Right.
Is what Egwene said. So she did know that she had been with Varen, but not what she was doing there. And she wasn't interested in the papers because she said it was for her studies. So what does she care?
Right. Right.
Had she said, Varen gave me these papers because she thought it'd help in my search for Black Aja, she might get interested. Because that's more interesting than for my studies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Yeah, I just find that it was a little bit too coincidental that she had the Tangreal with her.
Right. Almost,
you know.
Yeah.
Like it was a setup.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about it that way, but that would have to be Varen setting her up then.
But is it Varen?
Huh. I think we can trust nobody at this point. I think they're all Black Aja, the whole tower.
I'm thinking because we'll when we get to the chapter, I'll bring up my theory. I don't want to say anything too soon right now.
Good. I'm looking forward to talking about that because I have a feeling that our theories are going to be pretty similar on that. So
okay.
I even know what you're talking about and we haven't talked about it. So, all right. Chapter 24. This one is titled Scouting and Discoveries. So, we're with Matt now. Matt wakes up in his room. And I thought the way he woke up was hilarious because he's like, I'm in a nice room. It's like, must be a very nice inn, very comfortable bed. You know, just like, I just love the way he goes through it. And then he's like, oh, I'm in the tower. I'm in Tor Valon. Crap. And he's trying to come up with a way to leave Tor Valon. And struggling. So he has a look in the mirror and he sees that he's looking a little bit better already. You know, I guess it's been a couple of days since he first woke up. But one day. You're right. One day. So but he's been eating like I couldn't think of the guy's name. I was trying to think of the little Asian guy who does the hot dog eating contest every year.
I don't know who that is.
I cannot.
I do not
think
know
of
who you speak.
Or Joey, there's an American guy who challenges him. They're one of the two always wins. Joey something. Joey Chestnut is the American, but I cannot remember the little Asian guy's name.
Now, when you said Joey, I'm like, all I was thinking of is Joey from Friends.
I know. That's all I ever think about with Joey. So I never watched that show when it was on. But I had a former roommate who had every season on DVD, You remember DVDs back when we used to have these discs that you would, but, I was sick and missed, work for a week or so several years ago. And, I watched beginning to end Friends during that week. That was pretty much a week's worth of watching. So,
oh my God.
But, all right, so Matt wakes up, he knows, he sees he's looking a little bit better, gets dressed, and he's already being a little clever. He's like, well, I'm going to leave my spare clothes because I don't want people thinking I'm, you know, trying to disappear or anything. So,
exactly.
So he does grab his dice, though. Can't go without those. And he opens his door and kind of looks out, and it's like, oh, there's no guard. I'm surprised they're not guarding my room. Great. So he finds his way out of the tower, walks over to some guardsmen, and he's talking to the guardsmen, you know, getting basically a feel for what's going on outside of Tarvalen, and, you know, just trying to, in his head, prepare for an escape. You know, finding out what prices are like. Yeah, exactly. Like, how much money am I going to need, et cetera, you know? So, So he's talking to the bridge guard, and I thought the guard gave him his answers, but then he goes, but that doesn't matter because you're Matt Cawthon. And I had a sister walk up to me, and she walked up to every one of the guards and gave us a great description of you and said, you aren't going anywhere. So sorry. yeah. And he's like, damn it. Really? So he runs into a novice, and that is Elsie Grinwell. Remember her? Book one.
That was book one, and you said we would meet her again, where she was a farmer's family's daughter that was a little bit too into the boys.
She was undressed and ran with her eyes, and her mom wasn't so pleased, and Rand kept playing more songs and more songs because he was trying to, like, keep a situation from happening. So
exactly.
Yeah. That was a funny scene. I enjoyed that. So there she is again. Here she is in the tower. But
and she wasn't very friendly.
Yes, she wasn't acting like he expected her to act. So she basically avoids him, like runs away. And he's like, right. I'm not contagious anymore. Okay, I've been healed. Leave me alone. So she runs off, and then he hears the sound of swords, both practice and regular swords, you know, so that'd be wood and metal. And he kind of stops to rest. And then, you know, he's looking around and he sees two students who seem to be drawing more attention than anybody else. And it's because you have the pretty one, which would be Galad, and you have his half brother, Gawain, who are doing their little sword battles. And you had, who was the teacher? Hamar? Was that Hamar?
Yeah.
So they take a rest so Hamar can have a little smoke on his pipe. And Galad and Gawain make their way over to Matt, and they're talking. And by this point, he's realized who they are. So they're talking back and forth, and Matt's like, you know, I'm pretty good with the quarterstaff. I'm not as good as my dad and my dad. He always wins the quarterstaff competition at Beltane, unless Rand's dad, Tam, does. And Gawain kind of gives him a look, and he's like, oh, said too much. What am I doing? So, So he's, you know, kind of bragging, talking about himself to the quarterstaff, and they're kind of making fun of him a little bit, you know, like, oh, you must be pretty good with that quarterstaff then, huh? You know, and he goes, well, I bet I could beat either one of you. It's like, hell, for two silver marks apiece, I bet I can beat you both. So they refuse. They're like, oh, you've been sick, and I don't want Nynaeve. Oh, no, first, the funny thing they said was something along the lines of, I'd assume you must have to be pretty good with that to keep Nynaeve off you. So, coming off last week when she was one, two. So I thought that was pretty funny. But they're like, oh, well, you've been sick, and I don't want Egwene, and, you know, I don't want them all mad at me, and, you know.
Exactly, for taking you out when you're so ill.
Right, and taking your silver, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, no, So right then, Hummer comes up. It's like, done. It's like, if you two don't want to put your silver up, I will cover your silver. And Matt's like, all right, just remember, it's 2 silver apiece. Okay. My 2 versus your 4. You know, just making sure everybody understands where the bet sits. So he has come back up, Hummer comes up and Matt says, look, time to toss the dice. Only that's not what he says, because Hummer's like, I didn't know you. Interesting, you can speak the old tongue. And Matt's like, damn it, I did it again. I do have a book here, by the way, in my living room. A big, thick book. That one section of that book is actually an old tongue dictionary. So, I think that's pretty cool. So, I haven't read through all of it, but yes, it gives, I assume it'll give a translation of every old tongue word that's said in the whole story. So, they begin fighting, and, pretty early in the fight, Matt whacks Gawain on the head and knocks him out. And then it's just him versus Gallad. And they had mentioned that Gallad's the better sword fighter anyway, so that does make some sense. Gallad's the pretty one, too. So not only is he better at fighting, but he's the one who never does anything wrong, and he's a better sword fighter. He's got it all, so...
He's got the looks, he's got the everything, the pedigree, all that.
I do find it funny that when Gawain was knocked out, bleeding into a bleeding heap, as they said, the Aes Sedai go to heal him, and they're just staring Matt down. How could you hit him? You know, so...
what did he do to you?
Exactly. So Matt and Gallad go back and forth, and Matt realizes how good Gallad is with the sword, and he's realizing that he's getting hungry and he's getting wobbly. You know, I mean, like he has to end this quick. So he knocks him to the ground and just about does a killing blow on him before he realizes what he's doing. He's like, stop, just stop, okay? Yeah. So what do you think of Matt's ability to fight? Doesn't seem like, I mean, not that he couldn't fight before, but it seems like he's like I guess it's not a blade master when you're using wood, but, you know, a quarter master? I will tell you, I will go ahead and knock that out. He's not channeling. That is not, he doesn't have the ability to channel, but.
He's older, the old slut.
Correct. That's what I wanted out of
not,
you.
Not,
yes.
Pardon me?
That's exactly the answer I wanted. It's like he's channeling the old blood. You know, he's got that Manethrin going through him again. So
exactly. And the Manethrin is like came out. It's like for some reason, I think the knife opened up things in him too. Or maybe it was the healing to heal him from the knife.
It could be either one.
Because he was even speaking the old tongue then too when they were doing the healing on him.
I think it was the dagger myself, but they never fully explain. In the story. So they leave it up to you to what you want to think it is, but I think it was the dagger, the taint of Shadar Logoth that brought that on him. So, but yeah, but all of a sudden he already said he was pretty good with it, but these are two blade masters at the same time that he beats. So that's better than pretty good.
But it was also pretty interesting with the chief warder, the guy who was in charge of them all saying, hey,
love
remember
it.
This?
Absolutely love it. Who was the greatest blade master of all time? Jerome.
Yeah. Was he beat?
And he was beat one time, and it was by a farmer with a quarterstaff. It's like, and I searched the internet looking for a parallel to real life, and I never could find one. So I don't know if that's based on real life, if the supposed best blade master of all time in real life was beat by a farmer or anything like that. But if it was, I couldn't find it. So Matt collects his wagers and takes off. Before he leaves, he does tell the warder that he's from Manethrin. He doesn't say he's from the Two Rivers. He says he's from Manethrin. Yeah. And then he's like, you need to stop doing that. It's like, you gotta stop that. People are looking at you funny. Stop talking in the old tongues. Stop talking about Manethrin. You just want to leave. So
exactly.
So yes, that is one of my favorite scenes of the whole series. Honestly, I love that sword fight, that little fight. So, they did that in the series on the in the TV series, and it was good, but it wasn't as good as it was in my head. So,
yeah.
All right. Anything else that stands out to you in this chapter?
Nope. I think we got it.
I think we did too. I didn't shut my mouth. So. All right. Chapter 25, titled Questions or Questions. All right. So we're in Nynaeve's room. We have Egwene, Nynaeve, and of course, Elaine, even though Elaine's not supposed to be part of this group. She, of course, is.
Yeah, but you know, the Amyrlin did kind of like knew it was going to happen.
Right. The Amyrlin's not stupid. But
yeah, exactly.
But she did say that she couldn't afford to have Elaine's mom pissed at her. So couldn't invite Elaine.
That's why even Egwene said to Nynaeve, I think that's why she sent Elaine away, knowing that they would still tell her.
Right.
And Amyrlin could claim that she had nothing to do with it.
Exactly. And I do think it's funny that Egwene was like, as soon as Nynaeve started talking about it to Elaine, Egwene's like, what are you doing, Nynaeve? And Nynaeve's like, shut up, okay? It's like, this is what the Amyrlin wanted. Whether she was going to say it or not, we need as many people as we can to help us. And right now, this is all we know, all we can trust right here. So they're in the room, they're going over the papers, and they're finding nothing. It's just dead end after dead end. And you get the feeling, at least I got the feeling, that they had gone through this process, you know, dozens of times already, and just keep doing the same thing over and over again and finding nothing out of it. So Egwene thinks about the dream she had, the one of the Seanchan, and then the one of Rand reaching for the strange crystal sword. Any thoughts on that crystal sword?
No, that's the being held that no one can touch.
Kalindor, absolutely. So she had a dream of Rand walking into Sheol Gul. That's not a pleasant dream. And that of course is where the Dark One is locked up. That's where the final battle has to happen. And then she had a dream of Rand confronting the Seanchan. She had a dream of Perrin with a falcon and a hawk. And the hawk was holding a leash and trying to fasten a collar on him. Any thoughts on that?
Someone's trying to get to him is what she's seeing. And I think that it's Leandra.
Okay. I like that. Leandra.
Leandra is the, you know, she's trying to leash him, to chain him.
Now, do you think?
But it wasn't successful. Because there's also the other bird. One was a hawk and one was a falcon, right?
Yep. And let's go back in time to, I think it was the first book, when they ran into Min in Baerlon. Didn't Min say to Perrin that he'd have a hawk and a falcon?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it in my, okay, here it is. Perrin had a falcon on his shoulder and he was with a hawk. Well, that's this one. Bear with me just a second. I know that was in there. That was one of my pins. Dream of Perrin. Oh well, not a big deal. I can't find it, but I'm pretty sure that was in Men's viewing. The hawk and the falcon, and beware of the most beautiful woman that you've ever seen. If you see her, run away, et cetera, et cetera. So all right. So And then she had another dream of Perrin with a beard, and she kind of chuckled at that, right? So,
right.
So, what are your thoughts on Egwene dreaming? Do you think she is a dreamer, or are these just dreams?
I think she is a dreamer.
Okay.
That she does.
Cool. So you think she can basically foretell using dreams or something along those lines? So, all right. Yeah. And the Perrin with the beard was leading a pack of wolves as well. So, and she's had experience with Perrin and wolves already, so that's not that surprising, though. And she has a dream of Matt placing his eye on a balance and hanging by his neck from a tree. So that's pretty pleasant. We're back in the room again, and Nynaeve is Nynaeving. It's like, all this information is useless. It's worthless. Did Varen know this was worthless and give it to us anyway? Like, what's the point? And Egwene notices that there's one, she's looking for patterns, and she says every Aja had two, except for the Reds, who only had the one, and that was Leandrin, not the Black Aja that left. She says that everything else seems very random, that none were born in the same city, none were from the same country, or no more than two were from the same country, and that, like, they weren't all the same age, that there were some that were barely older than they were, and there were some that were old ladies. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was no pattern.
And she's like, it's just too patternless to not have a pattern, right? So that was interesting, and that kind of pulls Nynaeve up, like, okay, I mean, at least that's something. So she also notices that of the Tarangriel that had been stolen, the 13 Tarangriel, that they were all studied by Corianne and Nadeel, who we already know was the dreamer.
Right. Were they all studied? I thought she said that half of them had been studied by.
You're right. You are 100% right. More than half, she said.
More than half.
So, yes.
And their uses were unknown.
Yep. Four more seem to have some connection to sleep.
Right.
So one of them said, one of them was labeled dangerous and almost impossible to control. So that's fun, right? I'd like to be the one who gets that one. So, and it produces balefire. Have we had any experience with balefire yet? I agree. Yeah. We know it's banned. That's what we know about it. You're not allowed to use balefire. So at this point, we're a little suspicious of Varen, wouldn't you say? Because she gave us a load of crap. So then Egwene, that's when Egwene starts talking about Alana. Well, and Nynaeve brings up Elida and Sheriam. Elida for obvious reasons, as you brought up already. And then Sheriam, because it's just convenient that Sheriam's been where she has been when she's been there, right?
Exactly. She just always to be in the area of.
Plus, Sheriam's the mistress of novices, and what better place to put a Black Aja than as the mistress of novices? You know, I mean, like, I could see, imagine you're in charge of all the novices, so you have experience with every one of them. That'd be a great place to be able to go, this one looks like she has black inklings, and maybe I should approach her about that, et cetera. You know, I mean, so Egwene brings up.
But none of the 13 were old. Like, I mean, none of the 13 were young. That's what I meant.
That's true.
That went. There was one that was, the youngest one was 13 years, their senior. So
right.
I've been there already.
Doesn't mean that, number one, we don't know how long Sheriam's been the mistress of novices. So she could have recruited that one if she's black. And number two, we assume there's more black sisters or black Aja in the tower. So who knows how many of the accepted or novices might actually have black leanings, but they're still in the tower, hiding, if you will.
Right.
So hiding in plain sight. So I'm just throwing out theories. It doesn't mean they're right. You know, I'm just trying to get your brain moving.
If you send me down a rabbit hole, Andy,
I love my rabbit holes. So Egwene brings up the ring Tarangriel, and of course Nynaeve's like, I think I'm gonna wear that tonight. And Egwene's like, it's down. It's like, I'm the one, I might be the dreamer, not you. When Varen told me, gave it to me, not you. She said it might be dangerous. I'm the strongest channeler. She goes, yeah, but you can't even channel on command. So what good is that? What if you're not angry?
Yeah, she kind of put her in her place with that one.
I mean, Egwene's right, though. She's 100% right. She's the one who might be a dreamer. She's the one who should be using the Tharangriel, right?
Well, I mean, for most purposes, like, I think that she is the dreamer. I did think it was funny. I don't know if you mentioned this or you mentioned it, and I just didn't register, but with her dreams that she had where the white cloaks were binding her father.
Oh, I skipped over that one. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember I was thinking like how the white cloaks were going to be headed towards
Two
Rivers.
And now she's thinking the same thing and she's dreaming it. So maybe they will be heading that way. Who knows?
Or maybe they're there.
Maybe they're there already. Yeah.
Because even when you're dreaming is like, are you seeing what's actually happening at the moment or is it a premonition? Because it could be both, I think.
Or it could just be her overall fear of white cloaks. Who knows? Are they in the Two Rivers? Are they headed to the rivers?
They are.
I mean, what reason?
Don't try and dissuade.
Nothing.
Dissuade me.
All right.
They're on their way.
So, as they're stewing over the fact that they basically don't know anything, they look over and there's Elsie Grinwell standing in the doorway, and Egwene notices that she kind of glances at the Tharangriel. So Elsie tells her that the Amyrlin gave her a message that there's a hidden storeroom past the library where the remaining stuff from that the 13 Black Sisters has been stored. She turns around and she leaves, and they're like, she's going to run her mouth. It's like, we have to go after her. So she goes, Egwene goes after her and notices she's running. She's like, why is she running? So she goes running after her, but she can't seem to catch up, which is interesting because Elsie is not thin, right? So she turns a corner and no Elsie, but there's a woman dressed all in silver and white who's extremely beautiful. And who do we have? Who is it?
Leandra. Leandra.
No.
What's her face?
Lanfear. Celine. Yep.
Lanfear. And let me say, I think Elsa was Lanfear.
Well done. I'm going to say that I think you're correct.
This is what I was thinking about before, that if she can parade around, could she be Varen at times? And that Varen.
Interesting.
It was actually her who gave the Tharangriel.
Giving
her the Tharangriel. Hmm. Yep.
I have never thought about it that way. I like it. We'll keep that in mind. I like it. So do we assume then that Elsie that Matt ran into was probably Lanfear as well? Or no?
Could be. But no, because I think that really was the Elsie because Lanfear would have used that to get close to Matt again to talk to him.
Okay. I like that. I think you're probably right. And that makes sense. All right. Cool. Where did we leave off? Okay. Yeah. So she...
Like everyone seen her in her silver, like they don't all put it together. Like saw her.
When did Egwene see?
Nynaeve saw her.
When did Egwene see Lanfear? You may be right, but when did she see her?
Maybe she did.
I don't feel like she has. Not yet. I feel like this is her first time she's actually seen her. I think the boys have all seen her.
Uh-huh.
Because she was after each boy looking for offering power. But I don't think...
Egwene met Lanfear now.
Because Egwene, when we met Celine, she was during Carhine and right before that when the boys were off trying to...
Her?
At the end of the last book.
At the end of the last book.
But Egwene wasn't there, right?
Right. But with them all talking.
Yep. So what do you think of
But it's funny that they know no one, they not really talk about her.
Right. So she tells she tells Egwene to leave. And Egwene turns around, takes a few steps before she realizes, you know. And this is after she has already, like, feels weird about, like, they're having their conversation and Egwene feels oddly pulled into her, right? Like she's given answers she doesn't want to give and stuff like that.
Right, exactly.
What are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think that's anything weird, or is that just, you know, being in awe?
That's how Lanfear works. She, you know, because she makes all of them, when you end up hearing about them all and their interaction, like, they all revert to, like, a snotty-nosed kid.
Yep.
Like, they all kind of feel like a little 6-year-old that's been caught with their hand in cookie jar.
In this story, it's called compulsion. So that's what she's doing, is she's using compulsion on them.
Okay.
So, and I don't think that's really giving anything away, but just know that, yes, she's using the power on them, basically, to make him, and she has done that.
That's what I figured.
She's done that in the past and to the boys as well, a little bit.
Right, it's not like using the one, they're not tasting it or recognizing it.
Correct. It's not like they can see her weaving anything.
Right.
It's just what she does. So Egwene turns around when she's told to leave. She turns around, takes a few steps, and then she's like, she can't just do that to me. So she turns back around and she's gone. What are your thoughts? Any thoughts on that?
It's Lanfear.
She can do whatever she wants. Exactly. I like it. So, all right. So I do think it's funny. The end of this chapter, it's like she heads back and she tells him what happened, and Elaine makes fun of her. She goes, "Well, I figured, you know, she probably couldn't run that fast. If I wouldn't known that you couldn't keep up with her, I would have run after her too. Like I would have thought you could keep up with a little chubby little girl like that, Egwene." So I just thought that was kind of funny. Like, ha ha. So, anything else on chapter 25? All right, moving on. Chapter 26, Behind a Lock. So she's back in the room, Elaine, Nynaeve, Egwene, and, they decide they're going to take the advice that came from the quote unquote Ommerlin and, head down. So they sneak down to the library and through the secret passage into the storage area, which just happens to be all dust ridden, right? Like no one's walked through there in forever. And they, get to the little storage area or the storage room that they were told, and the door's locked. So Nynaeve gets all pissed off and, breaks the lock. Egwene mentions go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like Egwene, she's like, oh, I can kind of figure this out. And like Nynaeve didn't even want to wait.
Weird.
It's like,
So
staff out of nothing and then breaks it. And it's like, she's kind of pissy, I think, also because like it also said about how Elaine and Nynaeve could each make their own little orb.
Right. And she couldn't because she wasn't angry.
She couldn't because, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I think Nynaeve, at least to this point in the story, I think anytime either Elaine or Egwene does something good, she gets jealous. I think it's just jealousy over and over again. She's been Egwene's like boss more or less her whole life, you know, and now she's having Egwene is every bit as high as she is because she's now accepted as well. And she is not above her anymore. And I don't think she likes it. So, and Nynaeve can be a little bit petty. So, hey, Egwene can be petty too. So hell, so can Elaine. They're humans. So human. So they break the lock. Nynaeve breaks the lock. And I thought it was funny. She basically gets a crowbar, right? She creates her own crowbar and then decides that it needs to be bigger. So she just creates it bigger. That was kind of funny. Kind of chuckly. So they get inside and they see the personal possessions of each of the sisters, each in their own bag. And it's just a bunch of crap, except that there is something having to do with Tyr in everyone. There's a book, there's a note, there's a picture. You know, there's something having to do with Tyr in each bag. So,
the ship's going to Tyr.
There's research on where to stay when you're in Tyr. Et cetera. A book on Tyr, et cetera. I mean, there's just something. So Nynaeve right away is like, well, I mean, they're obviously headed to Tyr. Either that, or they're trying to make people think that they're headed to Tyr. Either that, or they're trying to, they are headed to Tyr, and they don't care if people. Inconceivable, once again. It's this glass. No, this glass has the poison. Either that, or you think that this glass has the poison. So, you know, I mean, just all that all over again. So then they realize, hey, we got to get going. We got to go clean some dishes. So they had to go do their dishes. And Egwene further cements that she's going to use the Tyrangriel that night. So anything else on this chapter?
Nope.
I agree. And this chapter, there wasn't a whole ton to it, just set up mostly. So, all right. Chapter 27. Ow. Do you do that on purpose? I'm telling you, my dog decided he had to lay on my lap earlier this morning. And he went as hard as he could, I swear, with his paw straight on my bits. And it didn't feel good. I was like, you do this on purpose. I know you do. So.
Oh, my God.
All right. Chapter 27, titled Helleran Rian. So, make up your mind, sir, please. So I have computer cords down by my feet and he keeps running across them and I'm just waiting for him to like yank the computer to the ground. So we are, this one's titled Helleran Rian. So they finish their work in the kitchen. And they go back to Nynaeve's room. And
but wait, this is where I had the question about Meereen.
Ah, yes, I did skip that.
Where she came into the kitchen and...
Did you find anything?
She was with Rand and those guys tracking down the horn. She was not this absent-minded.
I agree.
That makes me think that something is up, that it might not be her.
And like I said, I've never thought about it that way, but
or someone's fucking with their brain.
It's interesting. We'll have to keep our eyes open moving forward and see if we see any more of that out of her. So
because something is just not right with Varen, because she was not this absent-minded, and for her to come into the kitchens and then say something that loud and like to give a Tyrangriel to Egwene without telling her how to really use it. It like Varen's all about knowledge.
Right.
And she's not absent minded, but this something is up with her.
It's interesting.
I don't know what.
And a little bit later, I believe it's in today's reading where I'm gonna bring this back up. A little bit later, this theory of yours, because I like it, but not yet. You'll understand when we get there. So I find it interesting that several Aes Sedai came into the kitchens, and it's all the Aes Sedai that we've been talking about, right? You had Alana came into the kitchens. You had Elida came into the kitchens. Did Sheriam as well?
Sheriam, yeah.
Yeah. So. But I love the reaction to Varen. Have you guys you found anything yet? Grime and dirt or something like that. You know, I mean, just,
yeah,
it's like, that's a great answer. I love it.
Really like.
Yeah, exactly.
Where she's supposed to be covert. See, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
And then like, look at it, like how they explained it. Like she looked blankly around, like she didn't understand why she was there.
Well, keep looking. So they head back and Egwene tells them that she's planning on using the ring to Tyrangriel that night. And Nynaeve's like, well, maybe both of us can go. And she goes, yeah, and leave Elaine here guarding us by herself. Like, I don't know how good that of an idea that is. And Elaine's like, well, I can go with you and Nynaeve can guard us. And she's like, no. It's like, I will go.
Yeah. She's like, you know, you both of you just stop trying to get in onto my thing. Us, neither one of you are fucking dreamers.
Right. Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Like, leave me alone. This is my talent and I'm using it. And Egwene's kind of that way. She's, I mean, I get it. But Egwene has her power issues as well. You know, like feeling like she has to have her power.
Thing is it's also safer. I think she's just doing it to keep them safe because she's like, listen, if any of us, I have the dreamer power.
True.
If that's the case, I'm the only one that should be really using this because if I have the power, it helps amplify it. If you don't have the power, what's it going to do?
Right.
And we do at least know at one point that it is to amplify her power.
Sure, absolutely.
Someone else along for the ride that doesn't have the power, God only knows what it could do. So I don't think it's about her keeping the power. It's to be just by herself. I think it's her keeping it because she's the safest one to do it.
Okay. I'll give her that. I'll give you that. So I won't argue with you on that.
I
don't dislike her. I just don't think she's the perfect little sister that everybody thinks she is. So, I think Egwene has as many faults as anybody else in the story. Except for Elida. I am prejudiced against her. I admit that.
She was like the nagging. She's like the tag-along sister that nobody wanted. That's why I love her.
That's true. And she is the youngest of what? She has 7 older sisters, I think.
Exactly. Okay. So she's just, you know, she's always been the tag along and, you know, and gathering information, all this other stuff. You don't like her.
I don't dislike her, but I don't think she is this perfect paragon of virtue.
Maybe
that
she was perfect. I didn't.
You did not. But that is the opinion of so many people. And it irritates me. It's like she is not perfect. Okay. She has her problems
and
too.
And you love
Matt is perfect. So anyway, later in today's reading as well, I'm going to bring up something along those lines. So we're back in the room and Nynaeve sings a little lullaby to Egwene. I thought it was interesting that it was the lullaby that her mom used to sing to her. And Egwene falls asleep and wakes up in Tel Aranriad. So she wakes up in the Heart of the Stone, right? She wakes up and she doesn't know where she is, right? So she finds herself in a hilly area and the landscape is beautiful. And she's like, Varen said this place was dangerous. It doesn't seem dangerous to me. So, but she decides she's going to be cautious anyway. And she first thing she does is she channels and realizes that she can, that the one power does seem to work in the world of dreams. I think that's a really smart move. Let's see what kind of defenses I have before we start getting into this. I treat my dog like a cat. When he does something he's not supposed to be doing, I have a spray bottle I spray at him. So, all right, so then she has, I lost my place in my notes, sorry. She takes a step forward and she finds herself in an inn. And she knows it's an inn because her dad's an innkeeper. She was raised in an inn. So Perrin's there, he's asleep in a chair, and there is a wolf next to him. And he is tied. He has tied himself basically to the chair. He's chained himself to the chair. The wolf is kind of prowling towards her and, looking like he's getting ready to attack her. And she's screaming at Perrin, Perrin, wake up, tell him I'm a friend. Tell him, you know me, like she's freaking out a little bit. And, Perrin wakes up.
Freaking out a lot.
Right. And Perrin wakes up and calls the wolf off. Do you remember the wolf's name? Hmm?
It was Hopper.
It was Hopper. Absolutely. So then she finds herself somewhere else. She appears to be in a forest. It's dark. And there's a glow of campfire visible. So she makes a point of saying, well, I may not be as good of a woodsman or a woodswoman, if you will, as Elaine, but I grew up in, as Nynaeve, but I grew up in the Two Rivers. Mm-hmm. I can be quiet too. So she sneaks up on the fire and she sees that it's Rand. And Rand says, mm-hmm. Well, you've made enough noise to wake the dead. You might as well come out. I know. I thought that was hilarious. It's like, I'm going to be nice and sneaky. So she goes, Rand, it's me. It's Egwene. And he goes, sure it is. Dark One sends my mom, sends my dad. You know, he is just, Rand's not in such a good place right now, is he?
No, he's not.
Kind of.
He's like, you know, I got all these people trying to kill me.
Yet he's hanging out in Teleran Riad. Kind of odd there, isn't it? Isn't it odd that he's there too? Do you remember at the beginning of this book, Moraine found it odd that they didn't seem to be gaining any ground on him? And she mentioned if he's figured out traveling, but it doesn't seem like he's figured out traveling because he would have gone straight to Tyr. But I wonder whether him bouncing in and out of Teleran Riad has anything to do with him staying ahead. Again, never explicitly said in the story, but I wonder if right. The fact that seems to be going in and out of Teleran, because I don't think this is the first time he's been here. You know, he doesn't seem lost or confused. So,
and he seems to be, but he's hanging out in there. It's like he seems to be the only one traveling through.
Right, exactly. It doesn't.
I think it's strange. It's like
very.
But Perrin did it too, though. But it was all in the same.
This isn't the first time we've seen Perrin in Teleran Riad, though. Right? His wolf dream is Teleran Riad, right?
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing. They know it by different names, different titles, but an apple's an apple, whether you call it that or not. You know, I mean, we've seen him there, but this is the first, right?
An apple's an apple?
I don't know. It's the first thing I thought about. But maybe I'm hungry. But this is the first time I believe we've seen Rand there, right?
Yeah.
So they have their little altercation and she pops out of that as well. And I swear to God, I'm going to sell my dog.
No, you're not.
No, but he is getting
old.
You're
all tough and no action.
I know. I do love you, bud, but you irritate me. And it's probably all my fault mostly. So, all right.
I would agree with that.
So then she finds, she leaves there, and this is when she finds herself in the room with Kalendor.
Sylvie.
And well, before Sylvie, she decides, she goes, well, apparently nobody can touch this sword except for Rand. Well, if he can figure it out, I can. So she tries to, and she comes upon a wall and realizes that this wall that she's running into must mean that it's been created by Sidene, by the male half, and that's why she can't see it. She can't see what's blocking it. And then from behind her, yes, she hears a voice, and she turns around and she meets an extremely ugly servant woman named Sylvie. And Sylvie, of course, is...
Who is Sylvie? Sorry, I had to let the dog...
Who is Sylvie? I don't think she is. I think Sylvie is Lanfear. Yes, I think she is.
Leander.
And they're both obviously of the dark. Although Lanfear is dark-haired and Leandrin is blonde still. And Leandrin is... Just a black sister was, whereas Lanfear is, you know, she is a chosen. Oh my God, I went blank. What do you call them?
She's one of the
Forsaken. She calls herself chosen. That's how they see it, but forsaken for the rest of the world. So Sylvie says, "You don't remember me?" It's like I used to, my ugliness used to scare you when you were a little kid. And I find it odd again that Egwene isn't like, I've never met you. She like falls right into the story. Like, okay, I guess.
But was it that, or was she trying to get information from her?
Could be.
Like, see, I saw it that Sylvie thought she was someone else.
Could be.
I thought that Sylvie thought her to be someone else, and then I didn't think it was Lanfear. I honestly didn't.
Well, they never really say, so who knows? What were we talking about when I said I had something I want to talk about?
The reason why I didn't think that she was Lanfear is because she called Egwene my lady.
Well, she could be playing a role too, though.
As a servant, she's probably not going to call people their name because she's a servant.
I just thought that she didn't know who Egwene was.
Interesting. That's not how I took it, but again, there's no answer in the story, so who knows? Sylvie starts talking. And she says, what does she say? She says something about Ishmael, right? The light take Ishmael or something like that.
Right.
And Egwene kind of freaks out a little bit. And she goes, nah, it's just the same. Yeah, you know, it's like it can just feel good to do it. Go ahead and try it. Try it with Baalzamont. And Egwene does and decides that she's right. It does make her feel good. So then they hear.
Didn't people say you don't use his name because it kind of figures out where you're located?
Right. You don't use the name of the Dark One. Absolutely. That all that does is call him down on you. Don't empower him.
Isn't Ishmael Baalzamon?
That is correct. Ishmael is Baalzamon. So she's not using the name of the Dark One. She's using the name of Ishmael.
Right. But if Baalzamon, by using his name, because that's what, when they mentioned his name, that's how he kind of centered on the before.
But
so wouldn't Ishmael have the same power?
To a degree, Ishmael was able to.
Ishmael's Baalzamon.
He was able to center on him, not so much because they used his name, but because he was tracking him through the world of dreams. Like he was able to pull them into the world of dreams. And that's why he kept being in that same room. He would pull them in and, have interactions in there. And they had no idea because they didn't know anything about it. And there's more to that too, but I don't want to get into it quite yet. It'll be, I think it'll be another book or two before we really get into the heart of that. But I promise you we will. We'll get deeper into that at some point.
As long as you promise.
And I've never broken that. So, all right. So, they hear footsteps and Sylvie's like, oh, you can't let them see you. Like you need to leave. And she's like, oh, you don't know how to leave, do you? Like she realizes that Egwene doesn't know how to get out. So, she offers to help and she touches the stone ring, and Egwene wakes, like is in like a ton of pain, and then she wakes up and she's still in pain when she wakes up. So what Varen, or as you think, possibly, and I'm not saying you're wrong, you might be wrong, you might be right, but Varen said, you know, had mentioned she had that scar from Teleranriad, and that what happens there, if you get hurt there, you wake up hurt. That seems to be true because Egwene woke up and she was still in pain. So,
yeah. Well, I don't know if Varen was necessarily not Varen when she gave her the stuff.
Okay.
But I thought Varen wasn't Varen when she went to the kitchen.
I gotcha. And I think you might be right. Like I said, I've never thought about it that way, but that does make a degree of sense because she did act very weird.
You know, I am kind of seeing how Sylvie might be Lanfear because she said that this person comes even when they're dreaming and awake to look at the sword, and that is Rand.
And there are other Forsaken and other female Forsaken too. So she could be, you know, any of the other Forsaken as well, which we haven't really met any other Forsaken yet, but we will.
But it's not a she.
What's that?
But Sylvie says that he's coming to stare at it again. She muttered, awake or asleep, he wants. And then she remembered Egwene was there.
Right. But what I'm saying is maybe it's it could be like Mogideon, who we haven't met yet.
It could be one of the
three. Really, it could be there are other female Forsaken, so it could be any of them, right?
But she said he.
No, I'm saying Sylvie could be any of them.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But wakes up and she tells them everything except for Perrin's story, because she's decided that that's Perrin's story, and if he wants to tell it, he can. That's not hers to give. So that's good. Good for her, because I don't disagree. Perrin's having his struggles with the wolf in him, and she doesn't need to be spreading rumors about Perrin and making it worse, right? So anything else? Oh, and then she decides that she's going to use it again the next night. She's like, that's not going to scare me off. I'm going to keep. I think that the answer might be in Teller and Riad. She may be able to catch them there.
And she also said that next time there's a set time on it.
Right? Absolutely. She says, okay, now we need rules. Like we need to set some stipulations on this, because I couldn't get myself out and I don't want to get stuck in there. So. And they also decide that they're going to head to Tyr. Like, okay, like we're going to head to Tyr. Elaine said she needs to send a message to the queen regarding that she's leaving, because she doesn't need to, like, it would be bad if she just disappears again. Merghais probably wouldn't be happy about that.
But I thought it was also strange that when she said that she had a right to her mother, you know, because the Amarylline didn't know that she was one of them, that
the two don't seem to make sense together, right?
Right.
And right as Nynaeve's getting ready to fall asleep, she's like, I know who the perfect messenger would be. So, yep. Who wants to leave the city? So.
Yes, exactly.
Anything else on chapter 27?
Nope. But the thing is it brings me back. Do you think that was a plot hole that they didn't mention, that the Amarylline knows that she's one of them?
I don't know if it's necessarily a plot hole, but I believe that it's an unreliable narrator to a degree, meaning...
yes, because what...
what they think is not necessarily what's correct.
Right.
Like the Amarylline knows. She knew the second she gave it to the two girls that Elaine would be involved. She just needed to not to have her hands clean of the situation.
Right.
So, all right. Chapter 28 is titled A Way Out. In your book, do you have you do have the little chapter icons, right? Do you notice the six dice on there is different than the dice we use? That's not how the dots look on the six. Or the five, actually. The five on the far right is different as well. Just odd. Just something I was thinking. I don't know. Yes. And it made it so that you'd win every time, basically. So
exactly.
Yes, that was one of the terrain rails that were taken. So chapter 28 here. The girls, Egwene, Elaine, Nynaeve, they enter Matt's room. And he's immediately like, okay, what do you want? They're like, how you doing, Matt? Are you feeling better? You look so much better than last time I saw you. It's like, it really looks like it's been 2 months, not 2 days. You look great. Like, how's everything going? You know, I haven't seen you in so long, you know? So Elaine's like, I love the different ways they go at him here. Elaine's like, now, are you going to be a good Anderman? Are you going to be a loyal Anderman here? Or don't you want to do this for your princess? You know, and this is, I said I wanted to talk about this. Again, they didn't just come out and ask. Why couldn't they just come out and say, hey, can you do this for me? But no, they have to be all sneaky. And again, it's Matt. You know, Matt's not doing anything wrong here. Like, they are being rude to Matt, and Matt is being a good person. I think Matt's in the right and they're in the wrong here. I think they treat him like crap. And I see that you agree, because you have no response. So Matt, of course, is the perfect angel. And so So eventually, eventually Matt's like, listen, it's like, I've got to come clean. I can't leave. Like the Ammerlin's made it. I'd love to take I would take the letter for you, but the Ammerlin has made it. So I'm not allowed to leave the city and all the guards know it. So, you find me a way out of the city and I will gladly take that letter. I will pack Elaine over my shoulder and carry her to her mother if that's what you want. So, yes. So, so they have their little conference over by the window and they come back and they give him a letter and he reads it. And it's one of the letters that the Ammerlin had given saying what is done by the bearer of this letter is done in my name. And you are to follow what they tell you to do, period. Signed the Ammerlin. And he's like, what in the hell? It's like, did you? And they're like, no, it wasn't forged. It's real. And they're like, how'd you get this? And they're like, don't worry about it. This is your way out.
First thing was like, that he thinks it's forged.
Well, right. But I think that's mostly because it's like, what? They're just three accepted. Why would they be given a letter like that? Like that, I can see where he's coming from. That's kind of crazy that these three little girls would be given that much power. You know, so they stay around. They talk about the two rivers, and Elaine tells them what to expect in Camelin, who to talk to, et cetera, et cetera. And they leave, and Matt's like, "Ah, I get to leave. This is my way out of Tar Valon. Awesome." Anything else in this chapter that stood out? Yeah, there really wasn't. So, all right, moving right along. Chapter 29. Titled A Trap to Spring, not ominous whatsoever. So the girls in that two chapters ago had decided that they were going to leave the next day, whether they ran into the Ammerlin or not. So now we're at that next day. They're down in the kitchens helping to prepare the lunch. And of course, Laris is down there, and there's some other accepted and some novices down there. No, I guess just other novices. They're the only accepted that are down there. But Nynaeve, I thought this was very funny. Nynaeve tries smiling at Laris, and it doesn't work. She tries, like, she's trying everything she can, and Laris is just Laris. She's not having any of it. And Nynaeve is not a fan of the woman. She mentions that she has that wooden spoon and she uses it for everything except for what it's meant to be used for. So the Ammerlin, like, they're having their little argument, and the other girls are like, shh, stop. Okay. And she turns around, she sees the Ammerlin walking into the kitchens, and Nynaeve notices that everybody is working a little bit harder, stirring a little bit harder, etc. She's like, how weak. I can't believe they would do that, as she looks down and notices that she's doing the same thing. She's like, well, I have to act like it, like everybody else. I have to act like I'm in awe of the woman. You know, I mean, oh, Nynaeve, you can keep lying to yourself. Give me a second. Where to God, that dog. All right. So the Ammerlin walks into the kitchens. And she looks straight at Elaine and she goes, you know, I will teach you to use language like that around me, and just rips her a new one. And Elaine's like, huh? And Egwene comes to her defense and it's like, she didn't say anything. And so the Ammerlin's like, oh, God. And Nynaeve's like, Elaine, don't you see what she's doing? Or I'm sorry, Egwene, don't you see what she's doing? Like, how do you not see this? So she ends up calling Laris in and says, do you have a way to, you know, to discipline two novices or two accepted with filthy mouths? And off they two go. And Swan's like, well,
did she say filthy mouth?
She said something about that.
Quiet. Who cannot keep quiet.
Maybe that's what it is. But it had to do with talking out of turn.
Yes.
So they're dragged off by Laris. And she's like, I didn't mean to get Egwene caught in that, but. You know, I mean, I had to after she started talking. So she starts talking kind of out of the side of her mouth, almost like she's muttering at herself. And Nynaeve's answering the same way. And Nynaeve kind of tells her what they have. And
you're going outside the rest of the time, dude. This is 6 times you've gone in and out. Okay? You're done.
Like he understands
that. It doesn't matter. It makes me feel better. So,
well, as long as you feel better.
For now, I do. And I guarantee you, when he gets up and wants to go back out, I'll let him out again. But that's neither here nor there. So so they're having their little conversation, and Nynaeve tells her what they found, and Yarmulan goes, well, what are you planning on doing about this so obvious trap? And Nynaeve goes, well, I think the best thing to do is to spring it.
Didn't she, though, say, you know, like, did you really have to trust Elsa with this?
Oh, yes, I did skip over that. You're absolutely right. I can't believe you'd trust Elsa.
Kind of important.
Yes. She's
Elsa, we sent back.
Yeah, Elsa's not even here anymore. So
10 days ago,
all she wanted to do was stare at the boys. So see you later.
Exactly. So that's why I think that Lanfear can be whoever she wants to be. That
yes,
just like kind of confirmed it.
There is a spell. I guess it doesn't. No, I'm not going to bring up what the spell is yet. Actually, we've seen it, haven't we? Regardless, we'll bring that up later, just in case I'm jumping ahead and not realizing it. So, Moraine did something not exactly like that, but kind of. Actually, she did it back in the first book when she got super big.
Right.
She changed her physical self. So.
Right.
That's called the Mask of Mirrors. So, yeah, kind of a cool name. So. So they go back and forth, and basically Nynaeve tells her, she goes, well, we're going to head to Tyr, and Swan says, well, I will have money. I'll have gold sitting in your rooms waiting for you. And I'll have a ship waiting for you as well. So good luck.
And she also mentioned that she would let, Morghese know that
that Elaine was going with
him. Elaine is part of the thing as well.
And exactly. She's like, you tricky little woman. Like, what? You knew this whole time and we've been trying to sneak around.
It's she just confirmed it. Well, they assumed it. But the thing is I'm wondering if the letter that Elaine wrote is going to come back and bite them in the ass because she wrote the letter. And what's the Amarlin going to say?
That's a good question. We'll put a pin in that. See if that comes up again. So the last thing that Swan tells her is that there was another gray man that Sheriam found another gray man. Once again, it was Sheriam.
Her bed.
And it was in her bed. And that's kind of creepy. So, but it's odd that once again, it was Sheriam, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the one thing that Nynaeve did not say anything about is the world of dreams. She very pointedly did not mention that at all. So,
right.
So she says that that they're going to go to Tyr and spring the trap. And the Amarlin's like, okay, but please be careful. And then she says, any other questions? And Nynaeve goes, just one. What's Kalendor? And Swan's like, oh boy. She goes, listen, most of the sisters, there's only a few sisters in this entire tower who even know what Kalendor is, and kind of goes into it a little bit as it's one of the two most powerful Sayangreal that were ever made. And Nynaeve goes, yeah, but isn't the Dragon Reborn the only one who can touch it? And she goes, listen, she goes, if the three of you were to die keeping Kalendor out of the dark side's hands, it would be well worth it. Like that would, you would have done a favor to all of humanity in exactly. doing that. Like she leaves no bones about it. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Like that would be important, like as important as anything the world has ever seen. So then the Amarlin tells Nynaeve that she needs to make things right with Laris since she was, you know, not the most pleasant in there. So she calls Laris back in and in come.
She also said that Laris was not happy about like putting them in.
Yes.
To,
So Nynaeve was like that bitter old woman. Like she's there's no good points about her. And she goes, you're such a good judge of character. Just so you know, Laris came to me and complained and said she would not be part of abusing the three of you, that she would not stand there and do that to the three of you just to prove a point. So
yeah, and to put your health in danger.
Right. And it's like, interesting that Laris seems to have a moral compass, right? So she calls Laris back in. The two girls, Egwene and Elaine, come back in too, and Elaine's like, soap tastes terrible. It's like, it's awful. My brain immediately went to A Christmas Story. So with the bar of soap, what was the soap he used? I don't remember the name of the soap, but
that brown soap, right?
Yeah, but he had talked about how he had the whole dream where he's blind because of it, and what have we done? I don't know. It always cracks me up every Christmas time. That is the second movie I watch every Christmas season. So the first one is it's a Wonderful Life. That's the first one I watch because growing up, we always watched that while putting up the tree. So I know, right? Did you know there's a version of that, or there's a, I think Disney made it, but there was a version of that that was a female protagonist instead of being,
it was Marlo Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of being George Bailey, it was, his wife. So I thought that was interesting. So she calls the, Laris back in. And she's like, this kitchen is fantastic. You're doing a great job. Maybe I'll make the, term, Mistress of the Kitchen's an official title. And Laris is like, oh, that's awesome. Yo, I'm going to stir even better now. So yes. Anything else regarding this chap? What about going back a little bit? Who do you think killed that gray man? The second gray man that was found, excuse me. The second gray man who was found in Sheriam's bed? Who put him there?
Landfear?
All right.
That's my guess.
I like the guess. We're going to put a pin in that. All right. It was interesting that when they were talking about Kalendor and how strong it was, Swan said that they could actually, you could actually level an entire city with Kalendor. I mean, that is strong. Like, that is so much stronger than what even, like, Nynaeve is the strongest Aes Sedai that we've met, the strongest they've seen in 1,000 years, they said. And she's nowhere near that strong, right? I mean, that's insane amount of power. So,
yeah.
All right. So moving on to our final chapter of the day, chapter 30. Oh, we're almost 2 hours in. Wow.
I know. Your favorite chapter?
The First Toss. Yes, this is a very good chapter. And so is the next chapter, which you will find out in almost a week when you read it. So Nynaeve, Elaine, and Egwene have left Matt's room with it. He has the letter, and he has the letter, and then he also has, so he has the letter that needs to go to Moriaes, and then he also has the letter from the Ammerlin that allows him to do whatever he wants. And it's going to get him out of the city. So he's kind of in a hurry headed out there, but he's like, okay, I need some gold. I need some silver, some, you know, I need money. So he takes his dice and he's like, I need to go get something to eat too. So he heads to a tavern.
Well, you missed that he'd been hoarding food. Like, he had already gone and hoarded food. He kept...
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. He's been taking extra food and hiding it away in his knapsack, if you will. In fact, one of the sisters had mentioned, she's like, we're not going to let you go hungry. Okay. Like,
exactly.
And he knows he's not allowed to leave. So he's basically, he's like, well, you know, if you can't be sneaky about it, then be so obvious that,
be bold.
That anybody who sees you is going to just be like, oh, there he goes again. That's our Matt. I'm imagining a laugh track from an 80s sitcom going along with this, you know, I mean. But So he heads to a tavern and he plays some dice and he wins. And he mentions that he's always been he's always been lucky, but now he's winning every roll. So he leaves that first tavern after winning a good amount, but not enough that it, from anybody that they're going to be upset, except for this one sea folk man who decides he's going to tag along because he wants a chance to win his money back. So he ends up going tavern to tavern. And in the top process, he's exchanging his silver for gold. And then he ends up with more gold, more gold. And at one point he's like, I'm rich. It's like, I have all this gold. I could buy the richest, farm in the Two Rivers with this. Hell, I could probably buy the Two Rivers with this. So he's just going one another. And by the time he's done, the sea folk man is rich as well, because he started betting on Matt. It's like, well, I'm not going to bet against him. This guy never loses. I'm going to bet on him. So, which you can actually do in, what's our dice game? Craps at a casino. Yeah. You can bet on the person rolling the dice as well. That's part of how the game's played.
The tarot roll.
Maybe, but I think he would have noticed that because he had his own dice. You'd think he'd know what his dice. I mean, what are the odds that the Tarangriel number one?
Because they also said that they were rounded or something like
right.
that.
Right. And secondly, would the Tarangriel work for a man? You know, I mean, most Tarangriel that we've seen work for women only or men only. That they wouldn't work for both. Right?
But he's severe.
Yes. And I think it's I think this whole night is just his Tavir and just going wild. Yeah. So yeah, he is just one roll after another. He wins. And he blames it on the dagger. He says it must be the influence of the dagger making him lucky. So, okay. So he just keeps playing, and he realizes that, because he was only going to play for an hour, but he kept winning, so he kept going. You know, he had the gamble fever on him, and he realizes that we're just a few hours before dawn, and he needs to leave. He needs to get on his way. So he starts heading towards the docks, and he notices he hears footsteps behind him, and he notices he's being followed. So he hides.
And what, you know, and it only...
It's not happening, dude. I'm not letting you outside. You've had enough
money,
right?
Especially since he was exchanging silver for gold.
So he hides in a dark alley, and he hears the men talking, and the guy's talking behind him, and the one's like, "Hey, do you see him?" And it's like, "No, do you? No." Well, he's got to be around here somewhere. So they go down a different alley looking for him, and he's like, "I need to get out of here." So he climbs up onto the roof of a building and starts making his way towards the docks that way. And he kind of slips a little bit on one of them, and he's like, "Hey," it's like, "I need to get down off the roofs." And so he does, he climbs back down, and he's attacked by a man. He kills him by throwing him off the roof, and the man grabs him. So he falls as well. And, lands right on the guy, which keeps him from getting hurt and kills the attacker. So there's some more luck going there. I mean, it's not just dice. Yeah, the guy's own knife goes straight through his own heart. I mean, he's just like, everything that could be lucky is being lucky. So he starts heading back towards the docks again. And he decides before he heads off, it's like, I need to settle myself down. I need to get steady on my legs again. So he decides he's going to go into one more tavern, or one more inn, if you will, before he heads to the docks. And so he enters an inn titled The Woman of Tanchico. And that's how this chapter ends. Have you looked ahead at all to see what the next chapter is?
No, I have not.
The next chapter is titled The Woman of Tanchico.
I did notice that. So I'm figuring it.
Clearly something is going to happen. What do you think is ahead of Matt here? What's going to happen? I like to throw these out at you because there's absolutely no way you should know, be able to get it. But one of these times, your random guess is just going to be right on the money. And I'm going to be like, nailed it. Well done.
I think he's going to get food there, but I think he might start gambling. I don't know. I mean, like his luck, he seems to be on a lucky streak. Don't know if his luck is going to run out or not, but if that Tangrill was any kind of indication where like coins even ended up landing on their side and
right. Up. Absolutely. I mean, like he is flipping coins or dropping coins and they're landing on their edge, which is not exactly normal. So yeah. All right. Well, next week we will be reading chapter 31 through chapter 37. So you have 7 chapters next week. I believe we're going to find out what happens in The Woman of Tanchico. And I don't know, maybe Matt will get out of the city and be on his way, right? He wants to get on a ship. He wants to take the ship to, I can't remember the name of the city.
He's needing to get to Camelin.
Right, but he's not going to take the ship. Camelin is landlocked. So he's going to take the ship to a certain city, and then from there he's going to make his way on foot, is what he had said.
Right.
So yeah, we'll see if his plans work out
Wouldn't it be funny if he ended up on the same ship with the girls?
That would be interesting because they're leaving on a ship as well. We shall see. Maybe next week. Probably next week.
But I don't know if they're going in the same area, if that's the same.
Right, if they're headed the same way.
I don't know if they're headed in the same direction.
Right, because where they're headed to Tyr.
Right, and I don't know where Tyr is in relation to Camelin.
Well, let's find out. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull up a map of Randland. I don't know if that'll pull up. Oh, it does. It pulls up all kinds of maps. All right. Randland world map. Come on. Won't you let me make it bigger? That's what she said. All right.
Oh, my God.
Let's have a look at our map here. Dang it. I need a new HDMI cord. I will be grabbing one before work Monday. Because this one is getting frayed and it half works and then the second monitor goes blank and I have to pull it out and put it back in. It's annoying. All right, let's have a look at this map. So Andor, which is where Camelin is right in the middle. It would be Kansas if this was the United States. It would be the Midwest area. Where is Camelin in? Okay, so there's Lugard and Mirandi is to the south. Karhine is to the east. Gildan, Terabon, Amadicia are to the west. Eridomon's to the west. Do you remember where the girls were headed? They're headed to Tyr. Tyr is to the extreme southeast. It would be like Florida. Tarvalon is to the north. East. So that would be like New York area. So it's a good distance. So basically they have to travel through. They're going to travel on the river Aranin. Matt is going to travel a little ways, but they will both be headed along the same path, at least at the beginning. So theoretically they could end up on the same boat. But Matt's going to disembark at Arangil, which is straight to the west of, slightly south and a little bit to the east of Camelin. And then, and that's about halfway to Tyr from the looks of the map here.
Wow.
Interesting. So maybe they do end up together or at least have a little bit of a run in to each other. All right. Any closing comments on today's readings?
No.
All right. Well, for that lucky person who's listening to this, we will see you next week. I will beg you again to leave some comments, leave a review. Yeah, that's about it. So I will see you all next week. Wendy, you have your reading assignment. And next week, we will talk about that. Hopefully, I'll have this up on and live on the internet again come Wednesday. And yeah, if not, then I'll do it Thursday like I do so many times. So that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say I'll have it ready for you on Thursday, and it'll be a bonus if it's ready on Wednesday. That's probably more realistic. So Wendy, I will see you on Monday. The rest of all of you listening, the rest of you, I will see you on Thursday. All right. Bye-bye.